This is Bill McMinn from Inkable Bible Church, and this is the Way to Go podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and daily life, putting the Bible into practical, everyday terms.
Welcome to the Way to Go podcast. Bill McMinn, Mark Kostetler, and we're talking, this is the Lent season. I'm excited about it. Thinking more about Jesus Christ. It's been a busy season. I will say that, just a lot going on. So, you know, I appreciate the devotionals that we're doing in the day. My wife and I have been doing a Bible reading program, so that's been good. And then, so I want to focus on some of that stuff that has to do with Christ. And one of the famous passages that talk about the suffering servant.
Yeah.
Back in Isaiah in 52, as stars, behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. And I think it's interesting. It's kind of starting at the tail end. Like, he's going to come, go to the cross, but he's going to be exalted ultimately. And many were astonished at you. His appearance was so marred beyond human resemblance.
Yeah.
Right. And his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they had not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And I think the humility of Christ, just that marring, that torture that he went through, I think those verses to me remind me of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Think about that. The appearance was so disfigured. It was beyond that of any human being. Right. That's what the NIV actually says.
Right.
So disfigured beyond that of any human being.
Right.
That's what Jesus did. Just think about that humbling thought really quick. He endured that, and he did nothing wrong.
Right.
He endured that for my wrong.
Right.
Wow. What a savior.
Right.
What a loving act of kindness.
Right.
I can't believe it. Yeah.
I think of the pain of it. I have thought many times about what Jesus Christ went through, that I, as a human, Bill McMinn, would not want to be nailed to a cross. I would not right. want my beard pulled mm-hmm. out. I would not want to be flogged with a whip. I wouldn't want any of that.
Nope.
Like, it was just absolutely miserable what he went through. Yet, mm-hmm. it says kings shall shut their mouths because of him. And, you know, you might get him down, but you're not going to keep him down, right?
Yeah.
So then it goes on to say, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He right. had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him.
Okay, so I love that aspect. I'm sorry, but I love that aspect because in, I think it's 1 Samuel, God says in 1 Samuel, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Right.
If Jesus was some sort of a grandiose, you know, beautiful looking person, and they would follow him for the wrong reason.
Right.
This said he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him.
Right. Just I think, what do you think about that? Like a root out of dry ground. So I guess one part of me thought about, like, these little plants will come up and they'll grow, like Johnny jump ups and stuff will get between the cracks of our pavers, and I'll see like these little flowers shoot up. But yeah. then I'm like, no, because that's attractive. Probably more the root out of dry ground is just something you would climb over. Like Jerry and I just went up one of the ridges out in Madison mm-hmm. and there were a lot of exposed roots there. And so we mm-hmm. just climbed up through the roots, but you're kind of walking on it, stepping on it. You're not, they look cool, but it's not really that attractive of a thing. You know, I think of the yeah. roots that kind of bust out of the ground of the trees in front of my house. It's like not really anything that blends in with the ground, that doesn't really stand out, right?
Yeah. I mean, does it speak to the condition of the world at that time? I mean, the dry ground, like it needs nourishment. It needs, right. like he's coming up into a world that's dry, barren. It needs redemption. It needs God's activity, you know.
Well, I would agree with that 100%. But mm-hmm. I think the picture, I mean, as I'm looking at it here, mm-hmm. he grew up before him like a young plant. I went and dug up three little maple saplings, and they're just so tiny, and they were growing right in front of my house within right. 6 inches of my house. Like, they had to come
you
out.
You had to come
I
out.
I planted yeah. them on the south line, mm-hmm. on a line on the southern part of our property, And I go out and I check on them from time to time because I want to see them. I want to see how they're doing. I'm so excited about it. But they're little, and they, like, you'll have to come actually and tilt them up. Like, there's no real strength there because there's no real root. So you can get a storm or whatever. I'll come in once in a while and I'll see it's kind of falling over because they're still at that state, and I'll go pack the dirt around. Right. I put a bunch of peat moss in around it, and I just try to, I'm actually trying to help them out because they're just, as a young plant, they don't really have a lot of strength or vigor. And it's something that if you were to look at my property and you were to scan it, you'd never see them. Now, the trees I planted many several years ago that are big and huge now, you notice them. They're leafy. They're real obvious.
Okay.
The young plants, the young trees that I have, you'd hardly even notice. Even the blueberry plants I planted, like looking from the back of the house, like you hardly even see it.
So you're talking about insignificance right now. So when he shows up as an, it's kind of insignificant.
He wouldn't stand out. He's Jesus from Nazareth, right? He's Jesus. He's from a small town. He's the carpenter's son.
That makes sense.
There's no big deal. Like, there's nothing about him. So he's not going to be a king. He's not wearing royal gown robes and things like that. Yeah. Doesn't carry a scepter in his hand. He's just there working. Like,
what about
think about that.
What about
he's a carpenter's son.
What about a star? What about a baby? What about, you know, moving Herod to kill all the babies?
But it was all very quiet. It was all very quiet. Think about that. His, they grew up for 30 years.
You're right.
And they don't think anything of his own town doubted him more than anyone.
He couldn't even do he could only do a small amount of miracles because they didn't believe, They didn't believe in what he was doing.
They had such a lack of faith. It was just amazing. Mm. So I would look at it from just the humility of Jesus Christ. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And I think about that. Here's the creator of the world, and he's rejected. Mm-hmm. He's despised. He's
on a rescue
man
mission.
Of sorrows. Like, he's carrying our sorrows. He's a man of sorrows.
And the humbling part about it, Bill, is if me and you were there, we would have probably fell right into that same pattern. Right. You know,
unless we had a sick person.
Unless what?
Unless we had a sick family member.
Oh, right.
What does Jesus see all day? What does he see all day long? Nothing but lepers or blind people or lame people or demon-possessed people.
Yep.
They line up.
They line up over here. They line up over here. And on the other side, you've got the religious elites. You've got those that are coming against him over here, accusing him of not following the law, of being blasphemous, of being this and that. They're not accepting him for who he is. This group, sick, needing help, they're like, this is the only guy we know who to come to because we've seen.
Right.
Nobody else does what this guy does. You know, but
there's a whole different perspective. If you were a nurse during COVID, you had a whole different perspective than somebody like me, because all you saw is people falling apart in the perhaps in the emergency rooms on ventilators.
Yeah.
And your perspective's different. That was a small percentage of the population, but that's the percentage of the population you're seeing. Mm-hmm. We're out here seeing a bunch of people who. Yeah, they got it, and they got sick for a few weeks. For the most part, they're back on the up on their feet after that. Right. They're back serving, doing whatever else they're doing. They're not really affected long term. But if you're in that nurse, your whole world's a different place. Like a cop, you know, what does a cop see? Does he see the healthy behaving, well behaving people? Probably not. Like
not as much.
And so you would get a perspective. I just think of Christ and how many sorrows he dealt with.
Yeah.
How much pain that he had to handle all the time. He was acquainted with grief.
Like that's the word right there. Right. That you know we did this grief small group at the beginning of 2023, and. You know, I emphasize that, you know, in Hebrews, it says that we have a high priest who's able to sympathize with all of our weaknesses. And when you're struggling with grief and sorrow, you got to recognize that Jesus, that's the description of our Savior is he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He wept with compassion over people. You know what I'm saying? Right. And it's really important for us to grab the heart of that and to know that when you're praying to God, when you're praying to Christ, you've got somebody that knows exactly what every tear feels like, what every emotion you sense right now, you know? So it's very important.
He's sympathetic high priest.
He's sympathetic.
Right. He's sympathetic because he's been through it.
Yep.
And he has seen it. Yep. And he has suffered grief. I would say that it probably very much broke his heart to see the lack of faith at times. Mm-hmm. Very much mm-hmm. broke his heart to see how people treat it, how the religious leaders treat it, the other people.
Oh,
like
yeah.
the one woman of a bad reputation who comes crying at his feet. She mm-hmm. wouldn't have gotten close to anyone else because they would have completely rejected her. That's right. And I always feel like, have a heart for the repentant.
Man.
The yeah. rebellious, no. The repentant, yes. I mean, somebody who's really sorrowing and recognizing the things that they've done, I think that mm-hmm. that's a beautiful thing. And we need to have that same compassion of Christ. Yeah. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds you have been healed. And in some ways, this man of sorrows type, not only was it what he dealt with as he ministered to people, but also the man of sorrows, the sorrow he took on that cross, how painful that was. I mean, he was sweating blood before the crucifixion in the Garden mm-hmm. of Gethsemane. He was sweating blood. Think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sorrow was our sin.
Right.
There's just no way, no other way for me to look at it than that. So sorrowful for the things that I commit, you know, daily in my mind, in my heart, whatever. Right. Sinfulness. Right. It's sinfulness. It's depravity. Part of my reading this morning took me to Romans 7. I do the things I don't want to do, and I end up doing the things, you know, the things I know to do, I end up not doing. And Paul going back and forth with this man, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death?
Right.
Who does he say? I thank God through Jesus Christ
right.
that I'm delivered. You right. know, there's no condemnation. Why? Because if it's left to me, my own activity on that cross wouldn't have saved me.
Right.
It needed to be the rescuer that they, correct. By the way, that they didn't even esteem. They cast him off. They rejected him.
That's how he wound up on the cross, is because they rejected
him. That's right. John right. said he came to his own, and his own rejected him.
Right.
Wow. That's painful.
Right.
Think about the pain he endured just in his emotions for that. Right. He's there on a rescue mission to save them.
Right.
And by the way, at the beginning of that Holy Week, they're throwing down, they're singing Hosanna, blessed is the name who comes, you know, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And a week later, they're saying, crucify him. Mm. Wow, man, that's hard to understand.
I think the sorrow too, when you think mm-hmm. about the things that were thrown on him, pierced for our transgressions, all right, he was nailed to the cross, a spear was thrown through his side.
Yeah.
For... Mm-hmm. The reason being our transgressions.
That's right.
He did not mm-hmm. die for his sins. He died for my sins, right?
Yeah.
He was crushed for, it's clear here, for our iniquities, not his own.
That's right.
As for our iniquities, it says upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace.
Amen.
So what yeah. brings me peace in my walk with God is because my sin and the penalty went to Jesus. Because, and why Jesus Christ was so sorrowful on the cross too, is he had to bear that forsaken by God, separation from God.
Yeah.
And I think that he knew, I mean, to truly bear the sins of the world, it was dark from noon to three. I mean, it was pretty significant. Like the sun's not even shining. Even the sun is turning away from that scene. Yeah. And I think that's just amazing. Just the darkness of sin swirling and the heaviness of it all. Yeah. And I think of the sins from Cain killing Abel to murders that we read about in our own day, to hatred, to acrimony and split ups and addiction and pornography and you name it, and child abuse, God forbid, and sex trafficking and all these things that are swirling on the cross. I mean, they're innumerable. It's endless, the amount of sins that we humans have managed to commit. And here's Jesus Christ saying, you know what? I took that for you. Like, I took that punishment for you, right. And that's your peace. Like, you thank can you have God. Peace with God. You don't have to sit around and fret about your sins. You don't mm-hmm. have to sit around and worry that you blew it. What I would recommend that you do is live right. I would recommend you do the right thing.
Why?
And I think that's the way back.
Because you've had somebody that paved the way for you to live right. He didn't just get rid of the penalty of your sin. He got rid of the power of your sin when you give your life to Jesus.
Right.
You know, so live, again, Romans 8, you know, live by the Spirit. Don't gratify those things in your flesh. And you're going to have life. He came to give us life. He right. came, and the way you get life is to reject sin in your life. Sin destroys every time. It brings death every right. time. He, because of what he did, he removed the power of sin in your life. You now have the choice to choose holiness.
Right.
To choose righteously.
Right.
You can now become a slave to him.
Right.
And his ways, not sin anymore.
Right.
We have that choice now. Before Christ, I really didn't have a choice. I was given to my sinful nature. Jesus changed my nature. He made me a new person.
Right.
Hallelujah. That's wonderful. No, because of his punishment, right. he made me well.
You're healed. I think spiritually, I mean, I look at that. I don't look at that as a physical healing because there's too many good Christians I know that have passed away who are absolutely saved and believe in Jesus Christ. But that healing of that brokenness, that healing of that sin that so dominated in my life, I think that's powerful because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I think that's the human race. I mean, that's me. I'm part of that too. Mm-hmm. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. There's times in my life where I've gone astray, right? Mm-hmm. That you go in directions that you shouldn't go, whether that's in your thinking or your actions or whatever it is. And you know the frailty of humanity. Wow. And I think that every one of us should have a compassion for people who are hurting, and especially for people who are sinning, they're trying to overcome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I have people coming to me and they're, hey, you know I blew it. I know that I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. They find great compassion because there's no sense in piling on. For those who come in and they're damaging mm-hmm. their wife or their kids or whatever it is, and then they're like, well, I'm just going to keep doing it. It's like, what? You know what I'm saying? Because that you're passing the pain that Christ came to save you on. You're just now That's you're right. inflicting, like your sin is inflicting pain on someone else. You got to be careful, right? So, but for these people come to me and they can realize I'm a sheep that's gone astray. I've turned my own way.
Yeah.
The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Yeah. So my translation puts that last phrase, the sin of all of us. He caused the sin of all of us to attack him. Think right. about that terminology.
Right.
He laid it on him. You know, it's devastating Christ right before their very eyes. He's dying.
Right.
He's literally dying. You know, think about this. They went around and they killed. They had to kill everybody, the other two, you know, that were with him. Jesus was already dead.
Well, they broke their legs, so they would die faster. Yeah.
Jesus, he was already dead. What killed him? You know, the separation from God. Like, you know, that idea is heart-wrenching to me. The first time ever, the Son and the Father.
Well, the father turns
his face away.
True, and he gave his life. He said, I willingly lay down my life. Like, he gave up his spirit.
That's right.
He willingly gave it up. No one took it from him. He willingly gave his life. And he said that, I mean, before he died. Mm-hmm. You know, this was a willing sacrifice that I am going and I'm going to make it. But my sins going to him has always been helpful for me to realize that I do have forgiveness, that I can overcome, that I can have a walk with God, that I can get it right. And I'm hopefully, I mean, everyone feels this way, but you want to do better. I mean, you want to go through your life and do better than you've done before. Mm. And you want to be a better parent, a better husband, a better person, mm-hmm. a better human. And to me, the Christ is part of that. Yeah. Yep. Recognizing that, I have gone astray. And also I think too, from the perspective of just sheer appreciation for Jesus Absolutely. Christ, just to say, God, thank you for doing this.
Yeah. And here's why, you know why, Bill? Because the Father was pleased. He was pleased.
Right.
What Jesus did on that cross pleased the Father forever.
Right.
My sins are removed. I love that scripture. I wish I could go back and see it right now, but the scripture actually says he threw it behind his back.
Right.
Think about that. Right. He threw my sin behind his back, never to be seen again.
Right.
As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. They're removed from me. This is a wonderful promise. And why is that so? Because Jesus did it. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It was Jesus. And God was pleased with that.
I just think there are people who take it seriously and people who don't. There are people who want to walk with God and people who don't. Mm-hmm. People who think it's a big deal, people who don't. I've always been one. I want to be open to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit to lay things on my heart that I shouldn't be doing and just helping me to say, hey, you know, that's not really something you should be devoting time to. This is not a way you should be thinking, or, you know, this is not a way you should be talking, or whatever it is, to really convict me. And I felt that conviction before. And I think that's an important thing, and never to be so arrogant that you think you're somehow above the rest. I've tried to always remember, you are no better than anyone else. Every one of us, no one should be looking down on any other sinner who's coming out to Christ and trying to find their way. None of us should ever look down like we're somehow in a different caste system, kind of like the Pharisees. You know, we're in a whole different societal section of society. No, we're all sinners. Every single one of us. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the beauty. While the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And anyone can have your sins be laid on Jesus Christ. That penalty is paid when you put your faith in Jesus and realize you're a sinner. You come to him, you ask for that forgiveness, ask for that eternal life, and you'll have it on this very day, because all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You all have a great and an awesome week.